Just as sure as all children have earthly fathers, we are certain from the Word of God that there is a Heavenly Father. In the United States, we use this time of year to celebrate Father's Day, so Brother David Johnson's topic for today will be, As a Father Deals with His Own Children, based upon 1 Thessalonians 2, 10-12. You're listening to the Words of Life program. We're sponsored by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. We now praise our Lord with song.
Rock of ages, cleft for me.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we speak to you in prayer with thanks that we can call you Father through the work of Jesus at the cross and the empty tomb. Thank you for giving us earthly fathers and for being our heavenly Father. Some of our listeners need your special help for dealing with contagious diseases or chronic illnesses, while others need your peace and a right relationship with you. Still others are facing persecution as they work for you. We seek your special help for each. And we pray that we will be found in readiness when Jesus takes us home. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Using 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, Brother David Johnson will speak to us on As a Father Deals with His Own Children.
It's a great privilege to be able to share the Word of God with you, dear listener, and that we would all, both speaker and listener alike, apply the Word of God to our lives. Take them into our hearts, these truths, and share them with others. The title for the lesson is As a Father Deals with His Own Children. And our primary text is taken from the New Testament, 1 Thessalonian letter, chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Please listen to the Word of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. This is the Word of God. The Apostle Paul may or may not have been married, and may or may not have had physical children. But we do know from Scripture that Paul did consider himself to be a father to many spiritual children. For example, writing to the Corinthian church, consider 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15. Even though you have 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I became your father through the gospel. The Apostle Paul became their human spiritual father because he founded the church at Corinth on his second missionary journey, according to Acts chapter 18, verse 1 and following. As their spiritual founder and father, he cared deeply for these his spiritual children through the gospel of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Paul, writing to the churches in Galatia, consider Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. My dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. Here Paul, writing figuratively like a mother addressed to the Galatian believers as my dear children, again in the pains of childbirth. Here pleading like a loving parent toward wayward children in need of correction. Paul, having spiritually nursed them in their new life in Christ, felt he needed to again be in the pains of childbirth. Why? Until Christ is formed in you. The implication is that that is abnormal and unnatural, but evidently the Galatian believers were acting as if they needed to be spiritually born all over again. That is, they were backslidden. However, like a concerned, loving parent, Paul would not forsake them until Christ was deeply formed in them. All Christian parents and grandparents should never give up, but instead endeavor to teach and by example seek Christ-likeness in their children and their extended families. Consider 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 2. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Timothy was probably Paul's most cherished pupil and protege. Son emphasizes Paul's special role as his spiritual father, his human spiritual father. Today, Christian men and women can likewise become spiritual parents of younger ones who they mentor to follow in the steps of Christ Jesus. Consider Titus chapter 1 and verse 4, which says, To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. Obviously, the Apostle Paul fathered many spiritually to the faith. Today, many seek a positive legacy, something significant to leave behind, to be remembered by. What could be more important than our Christian impact and influence on others to become Christians and remain faithful in Christ, which has eternally positive consequences? Consider the epistle to Philemon in verse 10. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. In Paul's personal letter to Philemon, a member of the church at Colossae, which met in his home, Paul made his loving appeal. Onesimus was a runaway slave of Philemon. According to verse 18, Onesimus was not a believer at the time, probably stole money from Philemon. Onesimus fled to Rome, seeking to lose himself in the city's large slave population. Somehow, Paul, who was imprisoned, that is, under house arrest in Rome, met the runaway slave and eventually converted him to Christ. Since Onesimus had broken Roman law as a runaway slave and stolen from his master, Paul and Onesimus wanted to make things right. Again, as a loving spiritual father, Paul sent his son back to Philemon to make amends, to make restitution. Sometimes tough love is in order. It may be difficult, but it is still love for the right thing to do that counts. So how did the Apostle Paul attract so many spiritual children? Much of the answer is revealed in our key text, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Again, let us hear the word of God. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Notice that godly, spiritual, or physical fathers and mothers need to strive for holiness. That is, to live out godly lives before younger eyes and ears. To be set apart. We are sanctified positionally in Christ Jesus upon conversion, but we still need the process of sanctification to live out holy lives on a consistent basis throughout our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit. To live holy lives apart from the world's ways in a godly manner, in the way that we think, in the way that we talk, in the way that we act. Also, we should strive for righteousness, which is similar to holiness. That is, it's about striving for the right character in all of our ways. And when we mess up, we fess up. Our being willing to admit our mistakes, our sins, seeking to be better Christians, better role models, striving to be righteous in our lives, seeking to emulate Christ, who was perfectly righteous. Even though we fall short, we strive to reach the bullseye, that is, to seek to be more Christ-like in every way. That also we are to strive to be blameless, meaning our lives are such that others do not have legitimate cause to blame us for persistent immorality or unethical behavior. We, of course, will never be perfect in this life, but we do strive to sin less and less, to mature, to grow, to be more complete in Christ Jesus, and to be true believers as we wear the name of Christ, Christians, because we genuinely believe and belong to Him, following Him, following in His steps, seeking to be more Christ-like again by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit that gives us the want to and the way to be more like Christ. Furthermore, the Apostle Paul, in verses 11 and 12, summarized how spiritual or physical fathers or mothers should deal with children personally, individually. Notice the words in verse 11, each of you. Every child is different and unique. And, for example, in disciplining a child, some may need corporal punishment in a legitimate and a meaningful way, in a proper way, and others need only to be corrected verbally. Each child is different. Each of you, of those we mentor. And that includes encouraging. God knows younger ones need to be encouraged regularly. This life is packed full of enough discouragement. As family, as friends, as Sunday school teachers, as mentors, we can help raise up Timothys and Teresas to live lives worthy of God, seeking to give courage to them, especially when they're down, encouraging them, seeking to lift them up, to give them the courage to go on, to keep keeping on in Christ Jesus, even in spite of this world that is always seeking to be discouraging in many ways. So therefore, not only encouraging, but comforting. This is critical along with encouragement because of all the obstacles and the pitfalls towards spiritual growth. Younger ones eventually will experience struggles of all kinds, will be burdened, even brokenhearted in relationships of all kinds, and will need our compassion and our consolation often, even without words, sometimes to hug, to grab, to encourage, to lift up, to care, to be there for them, to come alongside them physically. Not only encouraging and comforting, but urging. Urging younger ones not to stray from the straight and narrow way of godly character. Godly living in this perverse and crooked generation is not easy. Often we need to be accountable to more mature believers, to remain steadfast in godly behavior. Christian living is not so much a set of rules as it is a genuine personal relationship with Christ Jesus by the persuasion and power and presence of the Holy Spirit, who guides, directs, and helps us along our journey in this life. So along with encouraging, comforting, and urging, let us all remember to pray without ceasing, that we may all, by God's grace, through persevering faith, one day see God to dwell with Him forever, as promised in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3, eventually in the final state of wonderful, glorious living with God and His holy angels and all the saints throughout the ages. Listen to a thoughtful prayer from a father, which says, quote, "Build me a son, O Lord, who will be strong enough to know when he is weak, and brave enough to face himself when he is afraid. One who will be proud and unbending in honest defeat, and humble and gentle in victory. Build me a son whose wishes will not take the place of deeds, a son who will know Thee, O Lord, and that to know himself is the foundation stone of knowledge. Build me a son whose heart will be clear, whose goal will be high, a son who will master himself before he seeks to master other men, one who will reach into the future, yet never forget the past. And after all these things are his, add, I pray, enough of a sense of humor, so that he may always be serious, yet never take himself too seriously. Give him humility, so that he may always remember the simplicity of true greatness, the open mind of true wisdom, and the meekness of true strength. Then I, his father, will dare to whisper, I have not lived in vain. End of quote. The prayer, the words of General Douglas A. MacArthur, a father. This is as a father deals with his own children, according to God the Father in heaven's own heart, revealed to us.
Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the road you travel harbor danger yet unknown? Are you growing weary in the struggle of it all? Jesus will help you when on his name you call. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by your side, he is the light all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, he's reaching out to you. Is the life you're living filled with sorrow and despair? Does the future press you with its worry and its care? Are you tired and friendless? Have you almost lost your way? Jesus will help you. Just come to him today. He is always there, hearing every prayer, faithful and true. Walking by your side, in his love abide all the day through. When you get discouraged, just remember what to do. Reach out to Jesus, he's reaching out to you.
Are you a child of God, following his ways through the invitation found in Jesus? If you have not yet made a decision for Jesus, you first need to truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. The book of Acts shows us that in the early church days, people who became Christians repented of sin, they confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord, and then they were baptized by being immersed in water. If we can help you in a decision for Christ, please contact us. You may receive a free CD of this and next week's program by asking for broadcast 2025. That's 2025. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's WOL1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.